the four, but it's the third one that's recorded. In Ephesians, and we're doing a study on that walk in Ephesians 2:10 in the last couple of lessons. And this week we will look at, or begin to look at, the worthy walk that we find in Ephesians. And so let's open to Ephesians chapter 4 and look at the first few verses here. And we won't get too far probably, but and my dog's already telling me that she wants some attention. So turn to Ephesians 4 and verse 1. I'm going to read the first three verses. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So here we have the worthy walk, and I'm going to qualify that by saying the worthy walk in the book of Ephesians, because Philippians and Colossians tell us to walk or speak of something that we need to be worthy of, and those are different. Those were clean. That I'm being interrupted here in the background, but let me see if I can go forward here. So here we have a calling. So keep that in mind when we look at Ephesians 3. It's the calling, the high calling of God that we are to walk worthy of here. If you would, turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. And we normally use this as a corresponding verse. But it's a little bit different. And it's good that we compare Scripture with Scripture and consider those, consider from that angle. Let's start at verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, there are some similarities to what we've read in Ephesians, but he's not emphasizing our calling here. Here he says to walk worthy of the Lord. And so we might get into that a little bit later as to how these interrelate or how they might be a little bit different. But there is a difference, because he's not speaking of the calling. And finally, turn to Philippians chapter 1. Verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And here he says that we are to let our citizenship, our behavior, be as it is worthy of the gospel of Christ. So here we have the word used, and it has to do with our manner of life, and it speaks of a different aspect of our walk. While each case, they have to do with our calling, the one in Ephesians speaks specifically of the doctrinal aspect of our calling is how we are to walk. So that's what we're going to emphasize this morning. In Philippians and Colossians, I believe it's more about being pleasing to the Lord. And in this case, he says, it's in a relationship to the gospel. And we did a study once on the gospel of in Philippians. It's used eight times, And it's an interesting study because Paul refers back to the times in the past, in a previous dispensation, and he refers to the gospel in the previous dispensation. So it's something to keep in mind when you look at that word gospel and how Paul used it, because he didn't distinguish between that during the previous dispensation and the present dispensation. That's a study by itself, but I'm just calling it to your attention. So let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and look at this a little bit closer. So this calling is a worthy calling. It's the word axios. I think most of you understand that, or most of you are aware of that. The word axios is the word that is where we get the figure of a balance beam. And so we are taking the doctrinal principles and walking worthy of those principles. So, one second here, sorry. So, this is where we want to put our focus. And so these next few verses will tell us that this walk is of our calling, which is His calling, by the way. And we find that back in Ephesians chapter 1. It was Paul's desire and his prayer that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would know what is the hope of His calling. So when we speak of the calling in Ephesians 4, we're really speaking of Christ's calling. Well, what is that calling? It's that high position that the Lord Jesus Christ has seated on the right hand of God, far above all principality and power and dominion and might and all of those things. And the issue in Ephesians chapter 1 has to do with the church and the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. So, Him being the head over the church. So that is the calling that is in mind here. So this walk is associated with doctrinal issues. He wants us to walk worthy of those things that we read in the first three chapters. And I think we want to keep that in mind and distinguish that, because I don't know how much we really think about that daily, about our calling and about all the important things associated with it. But that is definitely where we need to focus our walk. So back to Ephesians 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy. And I think probably the greatest beggar of all time is the Apostle Paul. You might do a study sometime and look at the word beseech. He says, I beg you. I beg you to do this. That's how serious Paul was about the scriptures, about his position, his responsibility that he had in delivering this truth. And so he uses that sense, probably better English to understand it that way, that he begs us that. He begs these people to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. So it's something to keep in mind for us, how important this is. And then he qualifies what manner of that walk is to be handled. And that is with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now we had a conference in Indianapolis a couple years ago, and that was the subject, the unity of the Spirit, and that will be part of our study. I'm not going to go into it in great detail. There are seven aspects of the unity of the Spirit that we need to look at. I think we normally we're quick to look at the one about one baptism because that's a favorite subject of ours. But I think it's important to understand each of the seven. There's one body, and you're going to find in Scripture that it speaks of more than one body. And you're going to say, well, wait a minute, there's one Lord. There's always been one Lord. Well, was there more than one Lord? Dispensationally speaking, biblically speaking, the Lord is the Lord. He's always been the one. Same. But dispensationally speaking, with Israel and each of these are need to be looked at from that aspect, because what Paul speaks now is not the same thing. He doesn't address the same issues that he did back during the Acts period. And so we will see a difference when we look at those. And that's the key to the unity of the Spirit. And we'll talk about this more. We're not going to do it this week. We'll go into those, maybe not in great detail, but just individually a little bit. But the issue here is that the unity of the Spirit is something that exists. How can you guard something that doesn't exist? That is the word keep. That means to guard. And so we want to keep something that already exists. And we find that in Ephesians chapter 2. So we'll look at that in greater detail. But this is not something we are trying to attain to, that we are working and striving for as a body to develop the unity of the Spirit. The unity of the Spirit is established. So keep that in mind, because that's what our walk is about. This worthy walk is about that. We are to endeavor to keep that, something that's established. And so it becomes a very doctrinal issue when we look at those seven items, those seven aspects of something that we are to guard. And, sometimes I'm a little hesitant on some of the things that I say, because I think some people probably think, oh, you guys are crazy. You know, you talk about these doctrinal things all the time and you forget about the walk. And surely, certainly that's that can certainly be evidenced a lot of times by the way we talk, perhaps. But I've never heard a preacher talk about this particular issue, that this walk is associated with a specific, unique calling, and that's where the focus is. And that's what the Scripture tells me here. I mean, that's the way I understand the Scripture. And so that's why it's important that we focus on that aspect of this high calling. And when you really get down to it and you concentrate, you know, we spent a lot of time on those first three chapters understanding that. If we really, really, really believe those first three chapters and how marvelous that truth is and that calling is, you can't but help but want to walk worthy of that. It is such a high calling. It is so unique. It is. It has such an awesome impact, if you really think about it. And all of it focuses on the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, He is the center of this. This is not the mystery. It's not, all the things we think of. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Scriptures we're going to read and we'll go back and look at have to do with the acknowledgement of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the Son of God. The focus in the very center of Ephesians speaks of the acknowledgement of the Son of God. And if we get off on tangents of little details of things in the Scripture and forget that, then we're missing the point, I believe. And remember, the word acknowledgement is more than just having a knowledge of something. When you acknowledge something, that means you're really going to live it. And you may have to, your faith may be tested to extreme measures to live that. And that's what the real meaning of understanding the acknowledgement and focusing on that aspect of it. One of the things we're going to see here with this hope and calling, because right after we go through those seven different items here that are associated with the unity of the Spirit, the very next verse that we read, in verse 8, when we read, we speak about His ascension and His descension. And that's a very important subject, because it engulfs the very truth of who the Lord Jesus Christ really is, who the Son of God really is, in that He descended first, the Scripture says. He gave up His glory. This is very much in tune with Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 8. About the Lord giving up His glory. It's the complete unselfish attitude of the Lord that we look at here when we read this walking worthy issue. So this the issue about walking worthy is about unselfishness. And I'm not so sure we look at the detail of these things sometimes. I mean, you think about them, you read through them, you think you've got it You got it down and you understand it. But all you got to do is pick up the book and privately read these things and go through it again. Beginning. In your mind, you say, oh yeah, I forgot about that. Or hey, this worthy walk. And so when we speak about lowliness, meekness, and long-suffering and forbearing one another in love, these are very critical aspects of unselfishness. These are all the things that the Lord Himself did and represented. And I don't think you have to be, you have to understand this truth to understand how important the Lord's walk was and His earthly ministry was to understand what this is all about. But how many of us really, when we stop and think about it, do we walk with all lowliness, with all meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love? And so one of the keys to, I believe, understanding a worthy walk is our association with each other. How many people here, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many people online this morning are blasphemers? Actually, raise your hand. Anybody a blasphemer here? Come on, tell the truth. Okay, turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. You see, the Lord looks at things differently than what we, the way we look at things. Titus chapter 2 and verse, let me see if I got it here in my mind. Hold on a second. Well, I didn't write it down. Give me just a second here. So there are three things, I believe it is, in Titus that he tells Titus, Paul tells Titus to speak. And I got to bear with me just for a moment here. Titus 3, 2. Okay, so I'm going to ask the question, do we have any blasphemers here? Titus 3, 2. Let's start in verse 3. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. So Paul says in verse 2, to blaspheme no man. Here's the word blaspheme, the same word that we find in the Gospels that's generally associated with blaspheming God. But now he turns it around and says, we are to speak evil, or to blaspheme no man. And that's been running through my mind a lot lately, because I get to work every day, and I can't think how many times during the day somebody will come up to me and we'll talk about something, then somebody's name will come up, and then we will make fun of that person, or we will do something on that level. Or I'll be driving in a car, and a guy cuts me off, and my immediate thought is, you know, this guy's an idiot or something. And this scripture says to speak evil of no man, to blaspheme no man. So the scriptures are pretty distinct about how we are to walk and how we are to treat not only our fellow believers, but to treat our fellow men. And so the Lord looks at things differently than we do. And I think that's the trouble that Israel had with the word in their day. That was the trouble that Israel had with the law. The law was something they kept, but they didn't understand the depths of it. And when you read the Sermon on the Mount, which I generally don't do because you think of it being dispensational, it's at the very heart of the way we need to live our life too. And that is how the Lord looks at those little things that we don't think much about. And so when it says to speak evil of no man, that's speaking of everyone. And it's also speaking of fellow members of the body. And so there's an issue about unity in Ephesians 4, those first few verses about walk, but it also has to do with how we deal with our fellow men. So I would say we probably should spend some time looking at how God looks at certain things, because we're going to see in Colossians and Ephesians both that there's some important issues about fornication and idolatry and covetousness and all those things, and we probably look at it in one sense, but the Lord looks at it in a whole different sense. And I think I've mentioned before in John when he talks about the word murderers, it had to do with hating a brother. So those are things we probably just kind of gloss over. We don't want to think about maybe, but the real issue here is how serious we are about our walk. So I'm going to stop there. We really didn't get into this week's lesson, but I kind of had to ad-lib that. I apologize because I like to be able to write down some notes and organize my thoughts a lot better, and wasn't able to this week. Hopefully next week I will be able to. My wife will be back, and my house, I'm still living in a jungle full of boxes, and you know, trying to find clothes in boxes and those kind of things. But anyway, hopefully next week I'll start getting a little bit of more order to my life. Let's close in a word of prayer, and we'll get out of here, and we can move over to hear Cecil. Heavenly Father, we're grateful to you for your word. We ask that you keep us mindful of what you expect of us, not what we think you expect of us, and our understanding. Call to our attention the importance and the necessity to walk worthy of this, because of principalities and powers and because of men who watch our daily walk. And help us to focus on these things so that our affection is on things above and not on things of this earth. Thank you for each one here. Thank you for this good word. Thank you for you. In Christ's name we ask and pray. Amen.